Now, while we've looked at the species that should live on the beach, what about the ones that shouldn't? Increasingly, what are called invasive species are turning up in many countries. These are animals and plants that are not naturally found in a particular area, but they've been introduced there, and because there are no natural predators and very little to compete with them, their population explodes and they drive out the native species. In the last year or two, scientists have discovered a species of clam that normally lives in the Gulf of Mexico, on the other side of the Atlantic Ocean, thriving in some waterways in Lincolnshire, on the UK's east coast. Izzy Clark joined the field team who are studying its impact.
You might not associate grassy banks with the coast, but estuaries can take many forms. It's in this transitional zone where a river meets the sea and provides vital nesting and feeding habitats for many aquatic plants and organisms. I joined David Aldridge and his team from the University of Cambridge as they waded through the South 40-foot drain, an estuary in the Lincolnshire Fens, all in search for the rather mysterious Gulf Wedge clam.
Today we're trying to understand some pretty fundamental stuff about an organism we know next to nothing about. The Gulf Wedge clam was discovered in the drain here in 2015, but unusually we have very little information about the impacts of this organism.
Generally, how do coastal invasive species go from one place to another?
Certainly globally, in brackish water systems like this, one of the major pathways is through ballast water of ships. That's where water is picked up into the bottom of a ship to stabilise its weight when it goes across the ocean. It goes to a new port and takes on its cargo and then releases that ballast water because it's now balanced by the weight of the cargo. But therefore you get organisms transported from a brackish water or freshwater system across the ocean in the hull of a ship and then down into a new freshwater location, and you can transport lots of organisms that way, you know, thousands of miles.
We started the day in Hubbard's Bridge, an area with low salinity, to have a look at these invaders.
It is clearly wedge-shaped. It's actually quite beautifully golden, particularly in this dark black oozy mud at the bottom of the drain. It's sort of quite, it's like panning for gold a little bit when we go searching for them. They get quite big. They're what, about 5 or 6 centimetres long, some of the biggest ones, and quite a hefty weight to them.
What do they feed off and what are they surviving on out here?
Well, these are bivalve mollusks, and what bivalve mollusks do is that they filter huge volumes of water. By doing that, they can trap small suspended particles of algae out of the water, which is what they feed on. So potentially the invaders here, the Gulf Wedge clams, could be removing food which otherwise could be available for the native species. And actually, we know with other invasive bivalves that they can increase the rate at which the rivers clog up with sediments because they're stopping the process of the silt out to sea.
So that could have quite a large effect on, say, flooding and sort of affecting local ecosystems. And is that all just from this one new species coming into this environment?
So we know relatively little about it. And one of the things we're actually starting to look at in the lab is how efficient the Gulf Wedge clam is in filtering particles out of the water compared with the native species. And also by estimating the abundance in the drain here, we can work out how important really these new arrivals are in the functioning of the entire ecosystem.
Across the day, David and his team were working along the estuary, checking the number of Gulf Wedge clams at different salinities. With their nets in hand, Justin Kemp, who's doing a master's in invasive species, explained what they're looking out for.
We're just trying to do as many sweeps and counts as we can, so just literally just counting, making sure they're alive, so they're closed and you can feel there's actually a clam inside and it's not just an empty shell.
And are these going to be going back to the lab with you, or are you going to just do your measurements and then throw them back into
these
the
These ones will be coming back to the lab with us, yeah, to run further experiments on.
And what will those experiments involve?
For me, they'll be feeding rate experiments, so to see how fast these clams are able to filter out food of a known volume of water over about 2 hours. And then we'll be comparing that to native species and see how the feeding rates differ, and that will allow us to sort of make some predictions about the potential impact they're having here.
As the team continued their measurements, it was clear that they were not expecting the Gulf Wedge clam to be so abundant.
Sorry, excuse me. I've just sort of pulled out, I don't know, maybe 40 or 50 in one sweep of the net, and these are all big, sort of golf ball-sized things, and I'm quite surprised.
And it seems that the Gulf Wedge clam was not the only intruder at the site.
It's a corophium, so it's a type of crustacean as well. This is rather large, so it's something that I'm quite interested in, just getting back to the lab and just double checking that it's not another species of concern that's just turned up.
When David was out of the water and all dried off, I asked him if there was anything we could do to prevent these invasive species.
We have a technology which we know works against some other invasive bivalves, something called the BioBullet. It's very simple, but it's very effective. What we do is we take product which is toxic to the clams, and we encapsulate it in a tasty coating. And you remember I said that these clams can filter large volumes of water. Well, they swallow this poison pill without realising they've taken the poison in, and they die straight away. And what's particularly interesting is that our native bivalves recognise the BioBullets as non-food, and they spit them out, so they never eat them. So they're totally protected from them. And all the other native organisms that we've tested the BioBullets against seem totally unharmed. So it actually offers a potential eradication tool, which is really remarkably specific.
David Aldridge from the University of Cambridge, and he's going to be testing the clams that they collected out there in Lincolnshire against their BioBullets in the next few weeks. We'll let you know how they get on. Danny, what do you think about this whole question of invasives? Because it's not just confined to a few shellfish around a few estuarine locations. This is big business worldwide, isn't it? It's a serious problem.
Yeah, I mean, my PhD was actually looking at invasive bivalves. I was looking at Chrysostrea gigas, which is the Pacific oyster, which comes from Asia. Yeah, I mean, I found that initially their effects were positive. They increased biodiversity because they're providing a structure, a physical structure, that with lots of little nooks and crannies that other animals can live in. But once they got to sort of beyond 50% cover, they actually ended up decreasing biodiversity, and they also stopped important nutrients from being recycled up out of the sediment into the water column, which could have a knock-on effect to primary productivity. It's really important stuff that he's doing.
Thank you, Danny.